It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom. And also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khomeini, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. I'm Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws
related to the month of Safar and Arba'een, and the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Well, Sheikh Javid, somebody said, I, along with a few of my friends, collected privately, donated monetary pledges for the purpose of funding the religious ceremonies associated with the Arba'een season. A portion of the pledged funds remained unused during the recent Arba'een season, and they will remain unused until the next Arba'een season, for the funds were pledged specifically for use during the Arba'een season. Now there are two questions in this regard, in this connection. A, first, can we deposit this unused portion with a bank in a savings account and use the earned interest toward funding the religious ceremonies of the next Arba'een season? B, and second, the funds are currently deposited in a non-interest-bearing Gharz al-Hasana bank account. Is it canonically permissible to deposit funds in a non-interest-bearing bank account?
Well, as for the first question, depositing the surplus of the pledged funds in a savings account is permissible, provided that, one, it is carried out with the consent of the donors, and two, the earned interest results from a contract that is sanctioned and permitted by Islamic law. Okay, so the contract must be allowable per se. And if there is any interest, then it should be earned with the consent of the donors. And of course, it's very difficult because it's very difficult to identify the owners of the money, the people who donated the money in the first place. How can you identify who paid that money and who didn't pay it? So as for the second question, as you know, it is quite permissible to deposit money in a non-interest-bearing bank accounts. It's always permissible. And Islam encourages depositing money in a non-interest-bearing account, of course.
I see. Sheikh Javid, some of the donations made by some people for the purpose of buying cups, tea, sugar, and other items needed to serve the believers, the Muslims, the travelers, the pilgrims, during the ceremonies of the Arba'een season have remained unused. Is it permissible to spend the unused remainder of the donations for ceremonies held throughout the year in commemoration of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him? Or do we need to keep it for use for the next Arba'een season?
According to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, it depends on the consent and permission of the donors. Now, if they consent, if they allow the money to be used for, let's say, buying, for serving food to mourners and during the year or throughout the year, that's okay, there's no problem. But if they do not consent and want the money or the fund to be spent specifically during the Arba'een season, let's say, then it should be acted accordingly. Now, those people who have the money with them, they should spend it and in the way which satisfy the requirements of the donors and not the needs of the believers only.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including practical laws of Islam, frequently asked questions, comparative fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the martyrdom of the master of the martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his holy companions, and Arba'in, and the mourning ceremonies for that regard. Sheikh Javid, lots of people donate different things during mourning and these rituals, such as the Arba'in season. And some people donate water bottles, right?
Right.
Can we make use of such bottles in order to make wudu, for example, for the, you know, that is donated for Arba'in pilgrims? If it has not been used or specified whether or not they are, let's say, donated especially for the purpose of drinking.
Mm.
If they do that, then would it be still permissible to make wudu with the same water bottles?
Well, in the scenario mentioned in the question that you just asked, it's according to His Eminence, it's not permissible to use bottled water for any purpose other than drinking, unless you are certain that it is quite permissible,
mm-hmm.
or it's allowed by the donors. Now it is up to you to see whether the donors actually allow or permit the pilgrims to use the bottled water to make wudu. I don't think so. It's such a thing is there, because the people who provide bottled water or mineral water, they make it available for the pilgrims to drink, because it's the hot season and the weather is very hot and there is the scarcity of water. There is water for making wudu everywhere. It's available. But hygienic and bottled water is not available. So it's for drinking and not for making wudu.
Mm-hmm. But if it is not...
If you're certain that someone has provided this bottle for you, for the donors, for the pilgrims, to drink, or if necessary, make wudu with it, there's okay, there's no problem in it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Many of those who wish to participate, Sheikh Javid, in the Arba'in pilgrimage, instead volunteer to serve the pilgrims by working in the makeshift rest stations or mawqif, right, that are set up in Najaf, Karbala, or even holy cities.
Sure.
And along the processions path during the Arba'in season, though they choose to serve the pilgrims, they are also themselves considered pilgrims. As such, a question that some of those that manage the rest stations or run the rest stations or mokibs is whether it is permissible to use some of the donations made by people for funding the ceremonies of the Arba'in season in order to pay for the expenses needed for the transportation of the volunteers, including the fee for obtaining their visas and the travel costs.
Well, it depends on the intention of the donors, as we have already discussed it in the past. If their intention in offering their donations is general, that is, you know, they do not have specific uses in mind, so it is permissible to use a part of the donations for that purpose prescribed by the, it's mentioned in the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very difficult, generally speaking, it's very difficult to ascertain the intention of the donor and to find out whether the donors consent to such uses or not. And if you do know that the owners or the donors consent to it, there is no objection to you using it for that, for any purpose that you wish to do so.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to cover some of the jurisprudential laws about the mourning ceremonies and Arba'een season and pilgrimage based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein planned to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new